Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Chaf. Hey, we are holding on Daf Chaf. Da'alev Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, Alil Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas whether Keren B'chotzer HaNizik pays Nezek Shalem or pays Chatzi Nezek. We know that Keren B'rishos HaRabim pays Chatzi Nezek, at least when it's a short time. What about B'rishos HaNizik? So that's a machlokas we've seen before, but this Mishnah is the basis for that machlokas, and we're going to explain that the machlokas is really about applying the principle of Dayol Ababin Adin Lios Kanidan, that when you derive something from a Kal V'chom, how limited is the limud? And that's what the majority of the daf is going to be about. It's about the topic of applying the principle of dayo. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas, so we're going to explain that the machlokas in our Mishnah is whether we apply dayo if doing so would ruin the entire Kal V'chomer, because sometimes the dayo is so limiting that you might as well not have had the Kal V'chomer in the first place, because it takes away the entire limud of the Kal V'chomer. So do we still apply the limitation of dayo if by doing so you're going to make the Kal V'chomer completely unnecessary? So that's perhaps the machlokas Tanaim in our Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to try to look for any Tana, neither the Tanaim in our Mishnah, but maybe there's some other Tana somewhere else who rejects Dayo entirely, that says that there is no limitation of Dayo on any Kal V'chomer. And in order to find the Tana who rejects Dayo entirely, we're going to go very far afield, far beyond Seder Nezikin, and we're going to spend most of the daf in Seder Taharos. We're going to talk about, we're going to bring a raya from the status of Shechva Zera of Azav. How Tamei is Shechva Zera of Azav, and we're going to look at the Shitos in Tanoim over there, and perhaps one of those Tanoim rejects Dayo, and then we're going to look at a discussion about the Tumah status of a reed mat in an Oel Ameis, and we're going to look at the Shitos Tanoim about that, and we're going to see maybe there's a Tana over there that rejects Dayo entirely, and neither of those is going to come to fruition, meaning we're not going to find the Tana in either of those places that, spoiler, that actually rejects Dayo entirely. And then at the very end of the daf, once we're talking about Kal V'chomers and Dayo, at the very end of the daf, going well into tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to have five suggested changes in Hilchos Nezikin based on Kal V'chomers, that maybe if we could start applying Kal V'chomers, we could change some of the fundamental assumptions we've been making about Hilchos Nezikin. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So again, all of these Mishnayos, every Mishnah we've had so far in this Perek, is really building off of the Mishnah on Tesvav Amud Beis of Chamisha Muadim. So each Mishnah takes a line from that Mishnah and elaborates on it. So Shara Mazik Rishos HaNizik, that was one of the lines in that Mishnah, that if a shar goes into a Rishos HaNizik and does damage over there, so Ketzad, in what way is the Baal HaShar going to be Chayiv, and how much is the Baal HaShar going to be Chayiv? So Nogach, Nogaf, Noshach, Ravat, Ba'at, if the animal pushes or gores or pushes or bites or tramples or kicks, in all those things, all of those types of damage are totals of Keren, because they're all done with Kavana Lahazik, and they're all Ein Hana Lezeko. The animal gets no pleasure out of it, and it's Ein Hazik and Matsui. It's not something that's a very common type of Hazik. If an animal does any of those things in Rosh Hashanah, it pays Chatzi Nezek. That's the simple din of Keren, Rosh Hashanah. But the Chiddush in our mission is Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Tarfon. If it does so in the Rishos HaNizik, then it's Machlokas Tanayim. Rabbi Tarfon says it gets elevated to Nezek Shalem. Yet the Gemara back on Yilchesem Beis said, yes, it does. It may get elevated to Nezek Shalem, according to Rabbi Tarfon, but it's still Nezek Shalem only Migufo and not Min Aliyah, because Karen only pays, Karen Tam only pays Migufo and doesn't pay Min Aliyah. So here you have an unusual Nezek Shalem that comes Migufo, and the Chum say that you're Chayiv in Chatzi Nezek, just like Karen versus Rabim's Chatzi Nezek. Karen versus Nezek is also Chatzi Nezek. The Rashash points out that according to Rabbi Tarfon, that it's Nezek Shalem, one could raise the suffix, if you hold Pal Ganiska Knasa, so do we assume that the Nezek Shalem in Rosh Hashanah Nezek is also Knas? Or would we assume that that would be Mamon, meaning the whole Svara to say that Pal Ganiska is Knasa, is because Knas is always defined as when the payment doesn't match up to the damage done. So when it's chatzi nezek, it doesn't match up to the damage done. It's only half of the damage done. But what if it's keren bereshus hanizik, where according to Rabbi Tarfon, now it does match up to the damage done. But do you say, yeah, but it's just an offshoot of keren bereshus harabim? If keren bereshus harabim is a knas, so keren bereshus hanizik is also a knas. Or do you say, no, now that it's nezek shalem, it's going to be considered mamon. So the Rashash writes that it must be a knas, because if you hold palga nizka knasa, it's because the real svara, the real reason to assume that it's only a knas, meaning what does it mean, palga nizka knasa? Knasa means that really, maker adin, you shouldn't have been chayiv anything. But as a knas, they were mechayiv chatzi nezek. What was the reason that maker adin, you shouldn't have been chayiv anything? Because stam shvarim arom dem cheska shimur. We assume that a shor is not expected to do such things. Well, that's just as true in Rishus HaNizik as it is in Rishus HaRabim. So if you hold palga nizka knasa, the svara that you would have been pater without a knas is just as true when it comes to Rishus HaNizik. And therefore the Rashash says, if you hold palga nizka knasa, you hold Rabbi Tarfon would hold nezik shalim, Rishus HaNizik is also knas. Pnei Yeshua, however, says bipshitus, that Rabbi Tarfon must hold like the shita palga nizka mamona, because otherwise you would never pay nezik shalim. A knas would never be nezik shalim. So must be that Rabbi Tarfon is assuming palga nizka mamona and not that palga nizka knasa. So now that we have these two opinions, whether a keren bereshus hanizik pays nezek shalem kishitas Rabbi Tarfon or chatzi nezek kishitas hachachamim, the Mishnah spells out what was behind the machlokas. So Amalem Rabbi Tarfon says to the chachamim that my din that you pay nezek shalem in reshus hanizik, that keren pays nezek shalem in reshus hanizik, is based on the kal v'chomer umab makum sheikel al hashen v'al regel bereshus harabim shu pater. If a reshus harabim were so makel on shen v'regel that we say Shein V'regel is completely potter b'Rishus HaRabim, that's what the Torah says, Ubir b'stei acher, that it's got to be b'stei acher, it cannot be in Rishus HaRabim, and yet, Hichmir alein Rishus Nizik l'shayim Nizik Shalim, and still we're going to say that Shein V'regel or Chayiv full Nizik in Rishus HaNizik, because Meitav Sadeh Meitav Karmo Yishalim, the Torah says, so Makom Sheichmir ala Karen b'Rishus HaRabim, so Karen, which is so much more chomer than Shein V'regel, in that you're Chayiv something in Rishus HaRabim, l'shalim chatzi nezek. You got to at least pay chatzi nezek for keren rishus harabim. Say no din shnachmir love rishus hanizik l'shalim nezek shalim. So it should be at least as chamor as shein v'regel are in rishus hanizik. If keren is so much more chamor than shein v'regel in rishus harabim, so it should be at least as chamor as shein v'regel rishus hanizik. So in rishus hanizik, shein v'regel pay nezek shalim. Keren should also pay nezek shalim in rishus hanizik. That's Rabbi Tarfon's kal v'chomer. Amr lo, the chum said back to Rabbi Tarfon, dayol abam in adin lios kanido. You cannot be mechayiv with the kal v'chomer more than the melamed, more than where you're learning the kal v'chomer from. Where are you learning the chiyuv of keren bereshus hanizik from? You're learning it from keren bereshus harabim. Keren bereshus harabim is only chatzi nezek. So you can't have a limud of the kal v'chomer that's greater than the melamed, that's more impactful and bigger than the melamed. Ma bereshus harabim chatzi nezek, af bereshus hanizik chatzi nezek. Just like Karen Bereshus Ram is only Chatzi Nezek, so if that's going to be Melamed, that there's a Chiyuv of Karen Bereshus HaNizik, it can only be Melamed that you're Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. So Rabbi Tafan is responding back to the Chachamim, Af ani lo adun Karen mi Karen. No, you're getting it wrong. I'm not learning the Chiyuv of Karen Bereshus HaNizik from Karen Bereshus HaRabim. You're right, if I was, then Dayo would limit me to only learn Chatzi Nezek. It's not what I'm doing. Ani adun mi regel, I'm learning Karen mi regel. I'm learning Karen b'chatzar anizik from regel b'chatzar anizik. If Shein and Regel are so kal that in Rishus HaRabim we totally pater them, and yet Hichmir b'Keren, and yet we're more machmir by Keren in Rishus HaRabim where we make it pay chatzi nezek. Magom shichmir al Shein v'al Regel b'Rishus HaNizik. So Shein and Regel, which are chayiv nezek shalem in Rishus HaNizik, ain't odin shenachmir b'Keren. So for sure we should be machmir more by Keren b'Rishus HaNizik than we should by Shein. We should be at least as machmir in Karen Bereshus HaNizik as we are by Shein V'Regel Bereshus HaNizik. So the real limud is not from Karen Bereshus HaRabim. The real limud is from Shein V'Regel Bereshus HaNizik. That Shein V'Regel Bereshus HaNizik are Chayiv Nezik Shalem, and therefore Karen Bereshus HaNizik should be at least as Chayiv. So Amlo the Chum said, yeah, but Tayel Abam Nadin Lios Kanidon Ma Bereshus HaRabim Chatzin Nezik, that Af Bereshus HaNizik Chatzin Nezik. Bottom line is, the couple v'chomer doesn't work without the halacha that a keren b'rishus harabim pays chatzi nezek. The whole kal v'chomer would fall apart if you didn't have that data point. So that's the linchpin of your kal v'chomer. Meaning, if you didn't have the point that keren b'rishus harabim pays chatzi nezek, then you'd have no basis to show that keren is more chomer than shein v'regel, or at least as chomer as shein v'regel. So then you wouldn't be able to follow it through and say, oh, if shein v'regel or chayv nezek shalom b'rishus nezek, keren must also be chayv nezek shalom b'rishus nezek. So therefore, we apply the principle of dayo. Dayo is a limiting factor on this kal v'chomer, because otherwise, because without the din of keren b'rishus harabim paying chatzi nezek, there is no kal v'chomer. Tos Yom Tov points out that we have a raya from our Mishnah to a Tosus writes back on Dav Dalet and Beis that we're onshin mamon min adin. That we're the whole assumption is that Rabbi Tafra wants to say that yichayev nezek shalem based on a b'rishus nezek based on a kal v'chomer. Well, there's a principle of ein onshin min adin. We never punish anything based on the kal v'chomer. So Tosus writes that we're onshin mamon min adin because over here Rabbi Tafra has done the kal v'chomer to be mechayev keren b'chatzar nezek nezek shalem, and the chum don't really disagree with him in principle. They just say it doesn't work because you have dayo as a limiting factor. They do not say, what do you mean, kal v'chomer to be manish someone, to punish someone? That's not their point of rejection. Their point of rejection is that there's a problem in the application of the kal v'chomer. So it sounds like if they didn't have that pircha, they'd be modet Rabbi Tafran, that onshin min adin. So apparently you're allowed to be onish mamon min adin. So the Rashash writes that that it's not necessarily a raya from our Mishnah, because once it already says in the Torah that there's chatzi nezek b'rishus hanizik, it could be that you could be min adin, you could learn the second chatzi nezek. Meaning, in onshin min adin maybe tells me that I cannot invent an onesh min adin. But when there's already an onesh in place, the fact that you pay chatzi nezek b'rishus hanizik, that I don't need a kal v'chomer for. That's from the psukim I know that you're going to pay chatzi nezek. So in terms of enhancing the onesh, turning it from chatzi nezek to nezek shalim, maybe that wouldn't be subject to the limitation of ein onshin min adin. What a person would have to go through over here to really assess this is to go back to what the svaras are for ein onshin min adin. Right? Why is it that we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer? So there are three basic shitos. One shita is that we don't punish based on the kal v'chomer because the kal v'chomer is based on our own logical analysis, and who knows, one day our logical analysis may prove to be faulty, and then what? I will have killed someone, I will have given someone a malchus, there's no taking that back. There's no undoing that. So I cannot punish someone based on the kal v'chomer. Another possibility is that ein onshin min adin is that maybe whenever we give someone a punishment, we're not just trying to punish the person, we're trying to give them a kapara. So if I'm going to give someone an onesh based on the kal v'chomer, maybe the onesh that I'm giving him is not a sufficient kapara. Maybe he needs a bigger kapara. And then what am I doing to him? I'm assaulting him for no reason because he's not getting a kapara. So if he's not getting a kapara, there's no point in any onesh. Neither of those svaras would apply to dini mamonis, would apply to mamon, right? Because the first svara that there's no taking it back if my kal v'chomer is faulty. Well, with mamon, sure there is. Just return the money. And if it's based on the idea that who knows, maybe he needs a bigger kapara. No, money is half of 100 is 50. So you're getting a partial kapara with 50. Meaning it's not when it comes to other onshim. It's not like you can measure what Malkus is in comparison to Misa and what Malkus is in comparison to other onshim. So, but when it comes to Mamon, you can measure everything very, very clearly because it's all based on the amount. Okay, so now the Gemara picks up on this discussion. The Rabbi Tavron learns the Kal V'chomer to be Mechayev Kerem Rishus Nezek Nezek Shalem, even though it turns out that the Nilmad is more chomer than the Melamed. So I asked the Gemara of Rabbi Tarfon, Leslay, Dayo? Does Rabbi Tarfon reject the principle of Dayo? Meaning the whole point against him in the Mishnah was Dayo l'bav min adin lius kenidon, that you can't have a kal v'chomer where you're going to learn a more chomer dikadin than the Melamed. V'hadayu d'oraisahu. But it can't be that he rejects Dayo, because Dayo is a din midoraisa. D'tanya, how do I know it's din midoraisa? Because the Braisa, Darshan's Psukim, midin kal v'chomer ketzed. Ketzah. The Braisa wants to know, what's the mucker in the Torah that there's such a thing called a drasha of a kal v'chomer? So that's how we understand. but most of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Drash Ban are just a Kabbalah. There is no Drash in the Torah that teaches me that they exist. But Kal V'chomer and Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Kechad, the Ravid points out Armi Daraisa, that there's a Makar in the Torah that you're allowed to learn a Kal V'chomer, that the Torah itself not only alludes to the Limudim like it does with all the Yud Gimel Midos, but actually teaches us to apply the Limudim. So the Brisa explains that it says in the Torah that Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, about the Kushis, Isha Kushis, Asher Lakach, and Miriam was punished with Saras because of that. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Vavia Yorok Yorak Bifaneh, Halosi Kolim Shivas Yamim, so Tisagar Shivas Yamim, Chusamach Nevachat Teyasef, that if her father would spit in her face, she'd be humiliated for 7 days. So what she did is deserving of 7 days of being humiliated, meaning if her father would get angry at her, she'd be humiliated for 7 days. So Kal V'chomer L'Shechina, so it's a Kal V'chomer if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at her, that she should be humiliated for Arba Asar Yom. I would think the Kal V'chomer would tell me that it should be twice as much time. Ella, Tayla Bamin Adin Lias Kenidon. So why does the Pasuk say, Sitisagar Shivas Yamim Michutz L'machneh? Because we can't learn any more from a Kal V'chomer, any more intense than the Melamed itself. And the Melamed is about a father getting angry at her. And in the case of the father, it's 7 days. So the most I can learn from that Kal V'chomer is that she's going to be banished for 7 days. The halacha of Nazifa appears in Shulchan Aruch in Yardeya Simin Shin Lamed Daled, that someone who's Nazuf, it's a little different than a Cherim. Someone who's Nazuf doesn't have to be Misrachik Mibnei Adam. They don't have to separate themselves from society. They don't have to be knowing Avelus on themselves. Normally when you have a Cherim or a Nidoy or a Shamta, so then a person is knowing Avelus for themselves. As Rosh Hashanah always points out, that a Cherim really means a curse that a person should die. And that's why all the dinim of Cherim and Nidoy and Shamta are in the third Parak of Moed Katan, because they're all the same dinim as the dinim of Avelus. Because once they impose upon a person a curse that they should die, they're knowing Avelus for themselves. It's as if they're a dead man walking and they're knowing Avelus for themselves. Nazifa is not like that. You're not knowing Avelus. It's just that you stay away. You stay more private in your house, and you don't go out in a public way. You're memait b'schok and b'dibur and with business. And anyone who sees you should see that a person who's in Nazifa is not himself, that he's bitzar, that he's struggling. That's what Nazifa is. But it's not quite the same as a Cherim. But a Nazifa lasts for 7 days for a human being. So Kal V'chomer, I would have said by Shechina, it should last for 14 days, if not for the principle of Dayo that says that it only lasts for 7 days. Now the Rishonim wonder, is the Shechina twice as much as a person? Meaning, why would I naturally assume that if it's 7 days for a person, then for the Shechina it's 14 days. I don't know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, so it's not just twice as much as a person, or 2,000 as much, or 2 million as much as a person. It's infinite, so mehechi tesi, that it's just going to be twice as much. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos over here that it's because it goes back to the Gemara in Kiddushin that describes the Shlosha Shutfin Yesh Ba'adam, that there are three partners in making a person, that there's a mother and father and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and each contributes different elements. Rabbeinu Tam has a slightly different gear than what we have in Nida Daf Lamed Aleph, but Rabbeinu Tam says that the father contributes to the child the Atzamos, the Gidin, the Tzipranayim, the Moach Shabarosho, and the Lovin Shabaayim. Five things. The mother contributes five things as well: the Dam, the Or, the Basra, the Sa'aros, and the Shachar Shabaayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 things. I mean, it's not a three-way partnership, 33%. No, it's a three-way partnership. The mother and father are half the partner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the other half. HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 things. The Ruach, the Neshama, the Klaster Panim, the Re'iyas Ha'ayin, Shmiyas Ha'ozen, Dibur Peh, Hiluch Raglayim, Deya, Bina, Vahaskel. So 10 different things that are contributed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be twice as much as the Chelik of the Father. That Avia, Yerok, Yerak, Befanel would have been 7 days, but where HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes to the human being is twice as much as what the Father contributes to the human being. So it's not about the greatness of the one who's upset at the person. Obviously, you can't measure the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in comparison to the greatness of any human being. It's about the contribution toward making that person a person. So the contribution of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is twice as much. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen is quoted in Tosos that the Gemara Dafka says 2 weeks because that's a double hesker of tzara'as. That since a hesker of tzara'as is always at least 7 days, so arba or yom is the double hesker of tzara'as that you have sometimes. Rabbeinu Peres just points out that then it should have been 13 days because the Yom HaShvi is all the l'shnei haskerim. It's a Mishnah Maseches Nagayin that the seventh day counts toward both ends, so it shouldn't have been 14 days if you say it like that. The Ramban just says that's just the derech of the lashon to be kofel b'kal makom. We want to pick a bigger number. We always pick double. Meaning the point is that there's an infinite number of days that she should have been benazifa because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elamai, Dayo limits it to 7 days. So bottom line is the Gemara is asking, how could it be that Rabbi Tarfon rejects the principle of Dayo? The principle of Dayo is Midoraisa from the very place that we learn Kal V'chomer from. Says the Gemara, Ki Leslei Dayo, when does Rabbi Tarfon not hold of the limitation of Dayo? Hecha Demafrich Kal V'chomer. That's only when applying Dayo is going to destroy the whole Kal V'chomer. Meaning we'll make the Kal V'chomer, will render the Kal V'chomer useless. But Hecha Delamafrich Kal V'chomer, but we're utilizing the principle of Dayo will not render the Kal V'chomer useless, Islay Dayo, then you would apply the principle of Dayo. So how does this play out? Hasam Shiva Deshchina Loksivi. When it comes to Miriam, it never said in the Torah anywhere that there are 7 days of Harchaka of Nazifa as a result of the Shechina. The only way I know that there's any amount of Nazifa is based on the Kal V'chomer. So also Kal V'chomer, I see Arbasar, but the Kal V'chomer without the limitation of Dayo would have said that it would be 14 days. Asa Dayo, Apik Shiva V'Oki Shiva. So Dayo comes and says, no, the Kal V'chomer is only going to teach me 7 days. But it doesn't render the Kal V'chomer useless. It just limits the Kal V'chomer to teach me 7 days. But I still need the Kal V'chomer to teach 7 days. I would not have known Nazifa of 7 days without the Kal V'chomer. There's no pasuk about Nazifa of the Shechina. Aval hacha, but over here, when it comes to Karen B'chatzar Nizik, had I not had the Kal V'chomer at all, I would already know that Chatzi Nezek, that Yechayev Chatzi Nezek Bereshus Nizik, just like Yechayev Chatzi Nezek Bereshus Harabim. So if Dayo is going to limit me to Chatzi Nezek, I might as well have not had the Kal V'chomer at all. So Dayo would render the entire Kal V'chomer useless. Chatzi Nezek Siv. Chatzi Nezek is Mefurish in the Torah, that Karen Bereshus Harabim or Bereshus Nizik is Chayev Chatzi Nezek. Va'asa Kal V'chomer va'aisi Chatzi Nezek Achrida v'nasa Nezek Shalem. The entire contribution of the Kal V'chomer was simply to elevate from Chatzi Nezek to Nezek Shalem. So Yidrash to Dayo, Afik Le Kal V'chomer. If you're then going to apply Dayo, you might as well not have the Kal V'chomer at all. The Kal V'chomer would be rendered entirely useless. Now, not entirely useless, because the Kal V'chomer would still be used to tell me that you're Meshalim Karen B'chatzar Nizek Migufo, like Karen and Rosh Hashanah, and not Min Aliyah, like Shein V'regel B'chatzar Nizek. So not totally, but more or less useless. So that's the limitation of Rabbi Tarfon. So it turns out that both Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon agree to the principle of Dayo. Question is how broadly we apply the principle of Dayo. The Rabbanon are willing to apply it to every Kal V'chomer, and Rabbi Tarfon says that whenever the Kal V'chomer is going to be rendered useless based on Dayo, we're not going to apply the limitation of Dayo. But where the Kal V'chomer will still be productive, then I will apply the principle of Dayo. And Rabbi Tarfon says the very example of Dayo is a case where the Kal V'chomer that we have in the Torah is a case where the Kal V'chomer is productive even after we use Dayo. So that's why we apply the principle of Dayo in that case. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who hold that Dayo works even when it would render the Kal V'chomer useless. How do they know that? After all, the source for Dayo is a case where the Kal V'chomer is not rendered useless. So Shiva Deshchina Ksivi. No, the Rabbanan will tell you, I do already know that there's Nazifa of 7 days for angering the Shechina, because the pasuk says Tisager Shivas Yamim, and that's talking about a Nazifa of the Shechina, and still I'm willing to apply Dayo. So meaning the case of Dayo in the Torah is a case where the Kal V'chomer is rendered useless when you apply Dayo, because I already know that you need the Zif of Shiva Yamim for the Shechina. The Kal V'chomer was only going to teach me to elevate it from 7 to 14, and Dayo puts it back to 7, which I would have known anyway. So therefore we apply the principle of Dayo even if it renders the Kal V'chomer useless. For Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon said, no, we don't apply the principle of Dayo, it renders Kal V'chomer useless. What do you do with the Pasuk Tisager Shiva Yamim? Don't I already see from there that the Zif of the Shechina is 7 days? No, Ahuti Sagar.
The Darshinan Dayahu, that Tisagash of Yamim is not coming to teach me that Nazifas Shechina is 7 days. That Tisagar, that Pasuk of Tisagar is darshening the Klal of Dayo. It's coming to teach me the Chiddush of Dayo. So and that's why she's not Chayev for 14 days. Meaning it's without that Pasuk, I would have said that Nazifas Shechina would require 14 days. So the Dayo that it says by Miriam is only only in a case where even after the Dayo, the Kal V'chomer is still useful. Namely, that the Kal V'chomer still teaches me the original 7 days. V'rabbanan, k'siv k'rachrina. Where are the Rabbanan going to learn the principle of Dayo from if they're using the Pasuk of Tisag Shavis Yamim to teach me that the Nazifa of the Shechina is for 7 days? Because there's another Pasuk, V'tisagir Miriam. Pasuk says, V'tisagir Miriam, Michut Samachna Shavis Yamim. Bamidbar Yud Beis, Tesvav. So that's what we learn from. We have another pasuk that the Torah teaches me that Miriam was actually, that it actually happened that she was tisaga for 7 days and not for 14 days, and that teaches me that dayo labamin adin lios kenidon. For Rabbi Tarfon does not need to learn the dayo from that pasuk because he already learns it from the pasuk of tisaga shavus yamim michutz lamachne. So what does he learn from the pasuk of tisaga Miriam michutz lamachne shavus yamim? Hahu, the pasuk of tisaga Miriam michutz lamachne shavus yamim teaches me that afilu bialma, even by other drushes of the Kal V'chomer in the Torah, darshinon dayo, that we do apply the principle of dayo, velo tomar hachamishum kvodo shel Moshe. And we shouldn't say that over here by the Hesker of Miriam, only because Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for her, that she shouldn't be punished so much, so maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in a little bit and said, you know what, it won't be so much, because dayo labamin adin lios kenidon. Avil bialma, but when you don't have a tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu at your back, that's helping you out. So maybe I wouldn't apply the principle of Dayo. So come Ashmalan, that's why I have a Chiddush in the Pasuk to teach me the principle of Dayo. So essentially there are two Pesukim in the Parsha of Miriam that tell me Shivas Yamim. The way the Chachamim learn it is that one of those Pesukim teaches me that of course for Nazifas HaShechina you need 7 days, so I don't even need a Kal V'chomer for that. The second Pasuk teaches me the principle of Dayo in general, and therefore the Chachamim say that we'll apply the principle of Dayo even if it renders the Kal V'chomer useless. And Rabbi Tarfon says, no, one of those psukim is there to teach me the principle of Dayo. The other pasuk is there to teach me that Dayo is not limited to the parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu davening for Miriam. That Dayo will apply to every Kal V'chomer, but only those Kal V'chomers that will not render the Kal V'chomer useless. If you render the Kal V'chomer useless, then Rabbi Tarfon is not willing to apply the principle of Dayo. So that's the Machlokas Chachavim and Rabbi Tarfon in our Mishnah. That's the elaboration of the Machlokas. They argue whether you apply the principle of Dayo, because they argue whether the principle of Dayo can be applied when the Kal V'chomer is going to be rendered useless by applying the principle. Now the Gemara says, well, is there anyone that just rejects Dayo entirely? Is there a Tana anywhere that just doesn't hold of Dayo? So two possibilities that the Gemara is going to have, and that's the whole rest of the daf. So I'm there, Papa Labaye, v'ahai Tana d'lo darish Dayo. I'll find you a Tana that doesn't darshan Dayo at all. Avagav d'lo mafrik Kal V'chomer. Even though we will not render the Kal V'chomer useless, is still unwilling to apply the limitation of Dayo. Detanya, because we have a brisa that teaches as follows. Now, in order to understand any of this, we need a little bit of background in Tumen Tahara. If a person becomes a Balkari, which just means a Shechva Zer comes out of his body, he goes to the mikveh and he's tamei until Shkia that day, and that's a pasuk in the Torah. However, if a person becomes a Zav, a Zav is that some sort of disease, we don't have it anymore, so if he just has one Re'ias HaZav, he goes to the mikveh and he's tamei until Shkia. But if he has two Re'ios or more, then he's going to need Shiva Nekiyim. Unlike a Zava, Zava needs three Re'ios in three consecutive days, like we spoke about yesterday, to require Shiva Nekiyim. A Zav only needs two Re'ios, even on the same day, to require Shiva Nekiyim. The third Re'ia of a Zav is Mechayivim a Karban, but two is enough to be Mechayivim Shiva Nekiyim, and he goes to the mikveh at the end of the Shiva Nekiyim, and he becomes Tahar. Again, these are Psukim in the Torah. Now, the halacha is that the Tumas Zav is more chamer than Tumas Keri, because when a person is a Zav, the Mayanos of a Zav are also Metame. His saliva, his urine are Metame Bimago Ubimasa, whereas opposed to by Keri, just the Shechva Zera itself is Metame Bimaga and not Bimasa. Just the Shechva Zera, not the saliva, not the urine, not the Shar Mayanos of a Balkeri. So our Sugi is going to talk about, what about the Shechva Zera of a Zav? Meaning, what if a person has the status of the, is his shikva zara at least as tame as his saliva? Meaning, will we say that if his saliva is metame b'mago b'masa, so his shikva zara should also be metame b'mago b'masa? Or we can say, well, shikva zara of Balkari is only metame b'maga and not b'masa, so maybe shikva zara b'zav is also only metame b'maga and not b'masa. So that's all discussion. Titania, keri b'zav minayin. How do I know that keri of a zav, that the shikva zara of a zav is metame both b'maga and b'masa? Just like a tipa ziva itself. V'dinu, when we learn from a kalvachomer, umat tahar b'tahar. Tame, if the saliva of a that comes out of a tahar person, nevertheless is tame b'tame, is going to be tame when it comes out of a zav. So tame b'tahar, eno din she'e tame b'tame. The keri that comes out of a otherwise tahar person is going to be tame. So all the more so when the keri comes out of an otherwise tame person of a zav, it's going to be tame. And we're using that as a limud to tell me that the shikva zera of a zav is metame both b'maga u'b'masa. So again, the kal v'chomer is like this, that if you have a person who's otherwise tahar, his saliva is tahar, his urine is tahar, but his keri is going to be tame b'maga. So when you have a zav where even his saliva is metame b'maga u'b'masa and his urine is metame b'maga u'b'masa, of course his shikva zera is going to be metame b'maga u'b'masa. Vamai, why? How can we learn from there that the shikva zara of a zav is metame both b'maga u'b'masa? Neima hani kalvachomer l'maga. Why don't we just say that the kalvachomer teaches me tumas maga of the shikva zara of a zav? Vahani dayo lafukimasa. And dayo should tell me, well, a linchpin of that kalvachomer is the carry of a tar person, of an otherwise tar person. The carry of an otherwise tar person is only metame maga and not b'masa. So dayo should limit the kalvachomer and tell me that the carry of a zav is only metame maga and not b'masa. So why don't we apply the principle of dayo? It must be that this Tana rejects the principle of dayo, because here's a case where dayo wouldn't destroy the kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer would still be useful. It would still be useful enough to teach me that the shikva zara of a zav is metame a little bit, that it's metame b'maga at least. So I need the kal v'chomer, and even after I apply dayo, and I'm still unwilling to apply dayo. The chitema, maybe you're going to say, no, to tell me that shikva zera of a zav is metame b'maga? I don't need a kal v'chomer to teach me that. That I would know on my own. L'maga lo itzrich kal v'chomer, d'lo gara mi gavra tar. Because why would it be that a zav's shikva zera is less tame than a tar person's shikva zera? Shikva zera is always tame. It's not automatic that shikva zera is tame b'maga. So the whole purpose of the kal v'chomer is just to teach me that shikva zera of a zav is metame also b'masa. So if you're going to apply dayo, you're going to render the kal v'chomer useless. So itzrich. So that's why I need to this din dafka to kal v'chomer, says the Gemara, because salka daita chamina. I would have thought mikra lailuk siv misha kiryu gorem lo yotzezesha in kiryu gorem lo davaracher gorem lo. No, I would not have known that keri of a zav is automatically mitame b'maga. I need a kal v'chomer to teach me that, because when the Torah describes the tum of balkari, it describes a person who's becoming tame because of the keri that's leaving his body. A zav is tame anyway, even without the keri leaving his body. So I would have thought that his keri is tahar. So kamash mulan. That's why the kal v'chomer teaches me that a tipas keri that comes from a zav is metame bein b'maga bein b'masa. Dayo should have limited it and made it only maga. But and even after applying dayo, the kal v'chomer is still useful. It would still be useful. And still, you see, we refuse to apply dayo. So you see, according to this Tana, we don't apply the principle of dayo ever. So says Gemara, well, midi v'lo davar acher ksiv, you're making up your own drasha. Does the pasuk say that a person only becomes, that keri is only tame when the keri is what causes the tumah, and not when something else caused the tumah? It doesn't say that in the pasuk. Maybe the pasuk is teaching me that keri is always mitame, that keri always is tame, regardless of whether it causes the tumah or not. Uman tan sham le'damar shech v'zer shalzam mitame masa. Who taka is the tana that holds shech v'zer of Zav is metame not only b'maga but b'masa as well? Lo Rabbi Eliezer v'lo Rabbi Yeshua. It's neither Rabbi Eliezer nor Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanan Shech Vazer Shalzav metame maga v'in metame masa div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says beferish it's not metame b'masa. Rabbi Yeshua omer af metame masa l'fi shiev shablo tzuch chiziva. And even Rabbi Yeshua says it is metame b'masa, it's only because he assumes that every time that keri comes out of the zav, there are some droplets of ziva in there as well. And because there are droplets of ziva in there as well, that's why it's metame b'masa, but not because of the carry on its own right. Ad kalokam Rabbi Shua Asamel Shiev Shabziva Halavachilo. So who's the Tana that holds that the keri in its own right is mitame b'masa? The Mordechai Masechus Chulin raises the question: why is the ziva that's caught up in the shechva zera not batal berov of the shechva zera? Tzichzuch ziva sounds like a tiny amount of tzichzuch ziva. So he says it could be that we're talking about where the zov is nicker, and anything that's nicker is not batal berov, or it could be that bitul berov is only when you had two things that were separate from each other. Then there is a taroves, and the taroves allows for bitul berov. But things that came into the world already b'taroves, you don't apply the principle of bitul berov. It's an important yesod that the Mordechai has. So anyway, elahai tanu, who's the tanu of the brisa that holds the shechva zera v'zav is mitame bein b'maga bein b'masa? It's the following tanu ditnan. It says in the Mishnah lemalam mehen, in the Mishnah of Maseches Kelim, by the three types of avos hatumah of sheret, shechva zera, and tamei meis that are only mitame b'maga. It says, and you should know there are some types of avos hatumah that are even more tamei, that are tamei b'masa as well. Zova shel zav, viroko, v'shechva zero, umei miragla, v'dam anida, mitame b'maga b'masa. There you have b'feirish, that shechva zero of zav is mitame b'masa. So says Rabbi Dilma Hakinam, v'yashiyav shabudot tzuk ziva. Maybe it's not inherent, maybe that's just because there is an assumption of tzuk ziva. No, because in Kain, listening to Gabe Zovo, it should have listed the shechva zera together with Zovo. Maishna de katani la gabe roko, why is it listed together with his saliva? El mishum da'asi me roko. It's because we learn it from the din of roke, from a kal v'chomer, that if roke, which is tahar when it comes out of an adam tahar, is mitame when it comes out of a zov, shechva zera, which is tame when it comes out of an adam tahar, should for sure be tame when it comes out of a zov. That was our kal v'chomer. So now the Gemara says, let's see if there's another tana that rejects the principle of dayo. Amalei revachem yidifti the ravina. I'll show you another tana that doesn't hold of dayo. Even in a case where it does not render the kal v'chomer useless. Titania mapats, if you have a mat, but b'meis, that's in the tumas oel ha'meis, minayin, how do I know that it could become tameh, even though it's not a beged, it's not a kliar, it's not a kliyet, it's none of the things that the Torah describes becoming tameh. V'dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Umapachin ketanim iftaini klecheres, shetahorim b'zav, which cannot become tameh from a zav, because the zav can't reach his fingers on the inside of the kli, and klecheres can only become tameh from the inside. So metameh b'meis nevertheless becomes tameh in an oel ha'meis. Mapats, a mat which can become tame from a mishkav azav, should for sure become tame. And the Bryce of Darshan's is called Chomer, not only to tell me that it's tame to Maserev, but that it's tame for 7 days. Why don't we say that the Kalvachomer teaches me that the mapats is tame to Maserev, and Dayo tells me that it's not tame to Mashiva, and the Kalvachomer would still be useful? Elamai, I don't apply dayo, and I say that it's tamei to mashiva. Amalei kvar ramanei alei Rav Nachum bar Zechariah la'abaye. This kasha was already asked by Rav Nachum bar Zechariah to Abaye. V'amalei Abaye tana mimapatz b'sharetz maisila. The tana in the Brice is not learning tumas mace of a mapatz from a kavachomer from tumas mace of pachim ketanim. Rather, he's learning the din of mapatz b'tumas mace from sheretz on a mapatz in gzeru shava that halchikamar mapatz b'sharetz minayin. How do I know that tumas sheretz applies to a mapatz v'dinu umapachim ketanim shetorim b'zav tamein b'sharetz pachim ketanim, which cannot become tamei from a zav, nevertheless can become tamei from a sheretz mapatz shetime b'zav in adin sheyeh tamei b'sharetz. So mapatz which can become tamei from a zav can for sure become tamei for a sheretz, and that kal v'chomer you cannot reject with the drush of dayo, because even both the nilma and the melamed are only for tumas erev. Ela mapatz b'meis minayin, how do I know that a mapatz is tamei b'tumas meis? It says begivar in both contexts of a sheretz and a mace. Ma begivar amur b'sheretz mapatz tamebo, af begivar amur mace mapatz tamebo. So mapatz is tame in both contexts. So if I'm learning that from a gzeru shava, mufna, you have to say that the gzeru shava is open on one side, because otherwise I'd be able to ask a kash on it. Di lo mufna ikal mifrach ma l'sheretz shekem tamei b'kadasha, that sheretz has its own chumra, that it's metame with a shir of a adasha, which is much smaller than a kazayis. Tomer b'meis, shekem tamei mikadash al b'kazayis, as opposed to a mace, which is only mitami with a shear of a kazayis. So says Marlei, afnu yemufna. You're right. It is a gzereshava mufna because michti sheretz iskul shel shechvazera. We already link sheretz to shechvazera. The chesiv pasuk says, O isha shetetei v'samachlei, O isha sheyiga b'chol sheretz. It mentions shechvazera right next to sheretz. Uksiv bei bit shechvazera v'kol beged v'chol ara sheyia love shechvazera beged v'or dekasr rachmana b'sheretz lamali. So why does it need to use the phrase beged v'or again by sheretz if it already mentions it by shechvazera? Shramina lafnu. It must be that it's to open it up so that you can't ask on any on the gzeira shava. Fracting mara v'akati mufna mitzad echelu, but it's only open on one side. Hanich lemani mufna mitzad echelu meidin vein meshivin. If that's good enough, shapir, then I understand very well. Elamad yomer lemeidin meshivin. But if you hold, you could still be meshiv a pircha when it's open on one side. Ma'ikal lemeimer. So the meis nami afnuyim mufne. The lashon beged v'or by meis is also extra because michti meis is kishlo shechvazera. Meis is compared to shechvazera. D'chsiv anogei b'chol tamei nefesh. Oish sheteitzei menu. D'chsiv be'bishchva zera. V'chol beged v'chol ara sheir love shechvazera. So beged v'or dekas rachmana b'meis lamali. Beged v'or that it says by meis is also extra. So shemamina lafnuye. Avi mufne mishnei tzadin. So it must be that it's coming lafnuye. So you see that it's mufne mishnei tzadin. So anich lemandei omer don minava oki ba'asha. This works if you take a limud and apply it to the place where you're applying it with all of its limitations. But if you take the limud and apply it with all the rules of the original makar, ma'ikal meimar, how does it help to learn the din of tumas mapatz of a mace from tumas mapatz of a sheretz? Tumas sheretz is only tumas erev. I need to learn tumas shiva. So amarava amarkra, because the pasuk says v'chibasim begdechem beyom hashvi'i. So kol tumas shatem etamid b'mace lo yibchus mishiva. Gzeres hakasuv that whenever anything comes tummy from a mace, it's always at least tumas shiva. Sorry for the rush at the end, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the kal v'chomer.